Der Urquell aller technischen Errungenschaften ist die göttliche Neugier und der Spieltrieb des bastelnden und grübelnden Forschers und nicht minder die konstruktive Fantasie des technischen Erfinders.
Hallo, hier ist Chaos Radio Express, Ausgabe Nummer 19. Und heute gibt's mal wieder ein bisschen Feedback um die Ohren und ein interessantes Interview, was ich geführt habe zum Thema Phon. Am Mikrofon Tim Pritlaff. Des Erinnerungs-Netlabels und das ist das Set, so wie es auf der letzten Netlabel-Party lief, die ganz nett war. Und das Ganze heißt, so wie die Party, The Spirit of Netlag. Ja, Chaos Radio Express, diesmal relativ schnell wieder eine neue Ausgabe. Das hat sich zufällig ergeben, weil ein interessanter Gast in der Stadt war und den habe ich dann mal interviewt. Bevor ich aber zu dem Thema komme, wollte ich zunächst einmal noch ein bisschen Feedback einspielen, was hereingekommen ist, beziehungsweise auch per E-Mail bei uns aufgelaufen ist. Zunächst einmal der Hinweis zu der GPL-Sendung. Raphael hat uns eine Mail geschickt und uns darauf hingewiesen, dass es sehr wohl eine deutsche Übersetzung gibt, wenngleich auch keine offizielle, bei O'Reilly erschienen. Wo sollte es auch anders sein? Die GPL kommentiert und erklärt, gibt es unter oreilly.de/katalog/GPL-GER. Den Link findet ihr natürlich auch auf der Webseite zum Chaos Radio Express Podcast und dort gibt es auch gerade die Übersetzung als PDF-Download, also das Kapitel, wo die GPL übersetzt ist, gibt es einfach als PDF zum freien Download und in dem Buch steht dann sicherlich noch sehr viel mehr Interessantes zur GPL, ich habe es selber nicht gelesen. Der zweite Kommentar zur vorhergegangenen Sendung hat uns dann über das Telefon, über das Feedback-Telefon erreicht. Da hören wir doch gleich mal live rein.
Jo, hallo, hier ist der Evil aus dem schönen Thüringen. Ich habe eine Frage und zwar zum letzten Chaos Radio Express und zwar zum Thema Dropping Knowledge. Ich meine, es ist ja alles schön und gut, dass die Leute da jetzt von allen möglichen Bevölkerungsschichten Fragen sammeln und die dann irgendwelchen Wissenschaftlern oder sonstigen stellen. Aber welchen sinnvollen Hintergrund hat das Ganze? Was bezwecken die damit? Wird in unserer Welt dadurch schöner, besser, toller oder was machen die bitte ganz genau mit diesen Fragen und warum stellen die das diesen Fragen? Was versprechen die sich davon? Vielleicht könnt ihr dazu einfach nochmal eine Antwort geben. Ich danke euch.
Ja, sinnvoller Hintergrund. Also den sinnvollen Hintergrund vermag ich gar nicht zu bewerten. Da muss man die Leute einfach schon mal selber fragen. Inwieweit die Welt da jetzt besser wird, das, ja, keine Ahnung, ob wir da überhaupt die Richtigen sind, das zu bewerten. Ich denke, da muss man auch erstmal abwarten und die Leute einfach nach ihren Taten bewerten. Also ich kann schwer sagen, welche Fragen und welche Antworten hier die Welt bewegen, wenn man diese Fragen noch gar nicht kennt, geschweige denn die Antworten. Letztlich ist das Projekt zumindest schon mal produktiv. Da kommen Filme bei raus, da kommen Dokumentationen bei raus. Ich denke, das werden wir alles sehen. Grundsätzlich verspüre ich aber hier schon mal so einen sanften Wertewandel in der Gesellschaft. Wir haben irgendwie einen Innenminister, der jede Woche um Woche neue Forderungen aufstellt, die dann regelmäßig vom Verfassungsgericht wieder verworfen werden. Und ein Parlament, was ohne groß nachzudenken eine Freiheitseinschränkung nach der anderen durchwinkt. Und ja, keine Ahnung, vielleicht wird es langsam mal wieder Zeit für eine außerparlamentarische Opposition. Letzte hat sich ja auch während einer großen Koalition gebildet. Immerhin muss man jetzt nicht vor dem Axel Springer Verlag protestieren. Jetzt gibt es einen Bildblog, jetzt gibt es überhaupt ein Internet, es gibt Blogs, es gibt Podcasts und es gibt viele andere Medien, die man jetzt nutzen kann, eine Öffentlichkeit, die es so damals nicht gab. Und insofern ist es auch irgendwie an uns, Alternativen zu formulieren, denke ich. Einfach mal ein eigenes Modell entwickeln. Sich immer nur beklagen ist so das eine. Mal alles scheiße finden. Ja, und gut, die marschieren auf ihre Art und Weise voran, andere marschieren auf ihre Art voran. Und grundsätzlich kann ich Aktivität eigentlich nur gutheißen. Inwiefern der Hintergrund sinnvoll ist, weiß ich nicht. Ich denke, wir werden das alles am Ergebnis messen. Ja, mehr können wir da eigentlich auch nicht zu sagen. Zweiter Einwurf per Telefon kommt von Jan. Hören wir mal rein. Hier geht es jetzt um die Sendung zum Mesh Networking.
Ja, hallo, hier spricht der Jan. Ich wollte nur sagen, ich habe mir eben das Meshing Networking angehört, diesen Podcast. Ich weiß jetzt nicht, von wann das ist. 2.6. Und welches Thema ich vermisst habe in so einem System, ist natürlich die Sicherheit. Die Daten wandern ja von den einem Point zu dem anderen. Und da wurde halt nichts über die Sicherheit, irgendeine Verschlüsselung oder sonst was gesagt. Man kann das sicherlich irgendwo nachlesen, aber halt nur so als Feedback. Wäre auch vielleicht ein kurzes interessantes Kapitel in diesem Ort. Dankeschön, tschüss.
Ja, ist auf jeden Fall ein interessantes Kapitel. Ja, ich glaube, zur Sicherheit haben wir uns so explizit nicht geäußert. Ist natürlich auch ein weites Feld. Ist immer die Frage, Sicherheit von was? Gut, OLSR ist im Wesentlichen ein System, um das Weiterleiten der Pakete zwischen diesen dynamisch sich selbst entdeckenden Netzknoten zu regeln. Und die Daten werden zwischen diesen Knoten genauso weitergereicht, wie das eben bei allen anderen Internet-Hosts auch ist. Also ein Mesh-Network unterscheidet sich eigentlich von einem anderen IP-Netzwerk nur dadurch, dass die Wegfindung durch dieses Netz eben sehr dynamisch stattfindet, dass diese Routen sich immer wieder neu finden, während es halt beim Internet Service Provider, die tauschen halt da ihre Routing-Tabellen aus und auf der Basis werden die Daten halt weitergeleitet. Aber dadurch werden die Daten selber nicht modifiziert. Also in dem Moment, wo ihr ein OLSR-Netz nutzt, ist es eigentlich, zumindest was die Sicherheit betrifft, kein anderes Thema. Und da ist die Antwort halt immer dieselbe. Wenn ihr die Daten nicht verschlüsselt, dann sind sie halt nicht verschlüsselt. Und von daher ist man da auch jetzt nicht sicherer oder weniger sicher als überall sonst auch. Nur weil man vielleicht direkt an seinem DSL-Anschluss die Daten verschickt und da jetzt so zunächst erstmal keine Privatperson dazwischen hängt, heißt das ja noch lange nicht, dass das irgendwo auf dem langen Weg zu dem Server, mit dem du dich in dem Moment gerade verbinden willst, Webserver, E-Mail-Login, was auch immer, heißt ja nicht, dass da nicht auch irgendwo jemand dazwischen ist. Kann auch beim Internet-Service-Provider sein. Da sitzen auch nur gelangweilte Angestellte, die irgendwie nichts zu tun haben. Ich will jetzt den Mitarbeitern der Internet-Service-Provider jetzt nicht Unrecht tun. Aber ihr wisst schon, was ich meine. Also Vertrauen ist gut, Kontrolle ist besser und Verschlüsselung ist eigentlich das Beste. Von daher achtet darauf, wenn ihr E-Mail verwendet, macht es nicht über ungesicherte Protokolle. Benutzt nicht POP ohne SSL. Benutzt auch am besten nicht SMTP ohne SSL, benutzt eigentlich möglichst gar nichts ohne eine explizite Verschlüsselung. Auch bei der Benutzung normaler Websites sollte man immer wieder darüber nachdenken, ob es nicht vielleicht die Alternative gibt, das eine oder andere auch über HTTPS zu sichern. Wenn ihr eure eigenen Server aufsetzt zum Beispiel, wo ihr euch dann halt einloggt. Überall, wo man sich eben einloggt und es handelt sich einfach nur um HTTP, also wenn man das Passwort, also in dem ersten Moment, wo man das eingibt, dann kommen ja häufig auch noch diese Cookies dazu, die gesetzt werden. Das ist alles nur vorgetäuschte Sicherheit. In dem Moment, wo die eigentliche Verbindung zwischen eurem Computer und dem Gegenüber nicht verschlüsselt ist, ist es halt einfach mal unsicher. So, So einfach kann man das festhalten. Und OLSR ändert da auch nichts. OLSR ist trotzdem ein schönes Protokoll und hat gezeigt, wie man alternative Netze aufbauen kann in Bereichen, wo es keine Infrastruktur gibt. Und das leitet auch schon über zu dem Hauptthema dieser Ausgabe von Chaos Radio Express. Es gibt ein neues Projekt, bekannt geworden unter dem Namen Phon, F-O-N. Informationen dazu unter phon.com. Und Phon will ein übergreifendes, weltweites System zur gemeinsamen Nutzung von Internetzugängen sein. Hierbei geht es vor allem um den Zugang über Wireless LAN. Das heißt, Leute werden hier aufgefordert, ihre heimischen Internetzugänge über WLAN Dritten zugänglich zu machen. Manche von euch werden das vielleicht auch schon mal getan haben. Ist ja im Prinzip auch ganz einfach. Man braucht nur seinen WLAN-Router so zu konfigurieren, dass er kein Passwort hat, und dann kann natürlich da jeder rein. Dann hat man natürlich auch noch ein anderes Problem, weil dann kann halt auch wirklich jeder rein. Und dann nutzen vielleicht auch einige Leute die eigene Leitung auf eine Art und Weise, wie einem das nicht recht ist. Sei es jetzt, indem sie irgendwelche Verstöße gegen irgendwelche Gesetze begehen oder auch nur einfach die Bandbreite in einem Maße regeln, wie es einem gerade nicht passt. Man hat also in der Regel relativ wenig Einflussmöglichkeiten, bei dem eigenen WLAN-Router das so einzustellen, wie man das gerne haben möchte, wenn man halt grundsätzlich bereit ist, seine Internetleitung mit anderen zu teilen. Phon versucht jetzt ein übergreifendes Login-System bereitzustellen. Und das Ganze geht einher mit einer neuen Software für den WLAN-Router. Das ist derzeit noch beschränkt auf bestimmte Geräte, nämlich diese Linksys-Geräte, die auch bei OLSR schon das Thema waren. Das überrascht halt nicht, weil das Gerät eben unter Linux lief, beziehungsweise es auch immer noch eine Linux-Variante gibt. Es gibt auch mittlerweile eine Nicht-Linux-Variante. Wer dazu mehr erfahren will, kann auch mal im Chaos Radio Express 16 nachschlagen. Und Phon stellt nun eine komplett neue Firmware für WLAN-Router bereit, die auf einer Open-Source-Lösung bzw. auf zwei Open-Source-Lösungen basieren, DDWRT und OpenWRT. Ja, und bietet für allen Leuten, die sich dort eben registrieren, einen Single-Login. Und dann kann man eben jedes WLAN, was irgendjemand mit einem Router, was diese Firmware für den WLAN-Router hat, kann das jeder eben benutzen. Man hat also quasi nur ein Login und kann sich an jedem Phone-Router einloggen und hat Internet. Man kann da auch Geld mitverdienen, wenn das gewünscht ist. Man kann es aber auch frei machen. Bekannt geworden ist das vor allem, weil Google und Skype jetzt in den letzten Wochen bekannt gegeben haben, dass sie da 20 Millionen in dieses Projekt reinschütten. Das hat eine ganze Menge Leute die Ohren geöffnet. Unter anderem auch mir, und es gab jetzt die Gelegenheit für mich heute ein Interview zu führen mit Martin Wasowski, der Projektleiter von Phon ist, der zufällig in Berlin war, und ich habe mich eine halbe Stunde mit ihm unterhalten. Das ist ein Interview auf Englisch, aber ich denke, es ist gut verständlich, und dieses Interview deckt eine ganze Menge Details auf, wie Phon sich das vorstellt, welche Ziele sie haben, wie ihr Bezahlsystem funktioniert, ihr Verhältnis zur Open-Source-Gemeinde und noch so einige andere interessante Aspekte. Ich spiele das jetzt mal ein und wünsche euch viel Spaß bei dem Interview. Okay. I'm sitting here with Martin Wasowski. He is the founder of three ISPs, as far as I know, and also the founder of Phon, which is a new company that is going to the market right now. Hello, Martin.
Hello, everyone.
Can you tell me a bit about Phon, the project Phon? What is Phon exactly?
Well, Phon is a software download that turns your router into a member of a global family of routers who share Wi-Fi.
So on your homepage, you say that Phon is a nation of people who share their broadband.
in exchange for having access to other broadband access points. And you sort of want to become the largest hotspot network in the world. Is this a realistic approach?
Well, like I had the idea of phone in September, and we launched the software in November, and we had 3,000 Phoneros in the beginning of this month. And then we signed up with Google and Skype, who became our partners, and we appeared in around 20,000 blogs around the world and 220 newspapers. And that was, of course, a tremendous way of telling the phone story. And we were expecting another 3,000 Phoneros. So that would have put us at 6,000, and the largest hotspot network in the world has 25,000 hotspots. But we got, as of today, we're at 17,500 registered Phoneros, which puts us very near our target of 25,000, at least the target we told our investors at Skype and Google that we would meet by December. So in only 2 weeks, we got 13,000. And of course, we have to turn the registered Phoneros into active Phoneros, which we estimate will take another 90 days. But it's incredible. It's phenomenal. I have no doubt we will be the largest hotspot network in the world, and before December.
Okay, if we're talking about registered users, what are we actually talking about? Are we talking about people who are actually sharing their Wi-Fi connection already, or is it just like people that have signed up to the network? Can you also explain what I have to do in order to make use of your service?
Yes, it's a very, very good question. I mean, people first, the first thing they have to do is register, provide their address and their information, and then they have to choose two methods to become Phoneros. If they already have the Linksys routers that we use, then they download the software into their laptops or their desktops, they connect their routers, and they change the firmware, and they become Phoneros that way. If not, we've been subsidizing the Linksys routers, so we buy them for 45, 50 euros and we sell them for 25. And we're losing money on that, but we're doing this in order to build communities. And then you just go to phone.com and buy the router, and it's plug and play.
So you were talking about Phoneros. Phonero is your name for your user base. And this user base is, well, there are three types of Phoneros. Can you explain that concept a bit?
Yes. Well, that's kind of the world according to Phone. And the world according to Phone considers that there's three kinds of people in the world. Two types are builders, and ones are users. So the builders we call Phoneros, and the users we call aliens. Aliens are people who really don't care how things are built, they just want to use them. And that's the majority of the people in the world. Now, the builders come in two types, the Linuses and the Bills. Obviously, Linus from Linus Torvald and Bill from Bill Gates. And we, at Phone, we think that Bill Gates is a hero and that Linus Torvald is a hero. We think the world needs both. The world needs the greedy kind that want to do it for the money and the altruistic kind that want to do it for the sharing. So at Phone, you can choose. You can be a Bill, in which case you will make money with Phone, or you can be a Linus, in which case you will get free roaming.
So if I'm just a Linus and sharing my ISP connection, I don't really have to be a phone subscriber to do that. What is the end of becoming a phone Linus in order to open up my own network?
Yeah, no, you're right. You could leave your Wi-Fi open, and then you don't need to be part of Phone. And we welcome that, by the way. We love when people share Wi-Fi in any way they can. But we think we offer a better way to share Wi-Fi, because when you share with Phone, then everybody else who's with Phone shares with you. And so when you go to Frankfurt or Munich or Madrid, where I'm from, or you go to New York, other Phoneros share with you. You know where they are. We're here at the offices of Places, and Places is going to show in their maps where we are. And So it's a community of people who share Wi-Fi. But if you just want to share Wi-Fi and not be part of any community, you know, that's fine too. And if you want to tell us where you are, and we'll put you in our maps, and, you know, that's fine with us. But we think Phone offers also a secure way of sharing Wi-Fi. And we also think there's many other incentives. For example, if you're a blogger, with Phone, you'll be able in 90 days to show a sign-up page to all your neighborhood, let's say, that says who you are and you're a blogger, and maybe the homepage of the, when people get your Wi-Fi, the homepage will be your blog. And also there's a social element to Phone, like you can thank the people who share Wi-Fi with you, and they can say, okay, next time when I'm in Paris, I'll use your Wi-Fi. And so there's a whole social blogging element to Phone. It's like a neighborhood announcement bulletin board where neighbors tell each other. And lastly, the Phone hotspots will soon mesh, so they will auto-detect each other. And so the IP tables will route communications with your neighbors over Wi-Fi and not over the internet. So you can have a private communication with your neighbors that doesn't go over the internet. You can have it at very high speeds because the Wi-Fi speeds are very high speeds. And you want your neighbors to be Phoneros because you want to communicate with them, but maybe also because you want to walk all the way to the bus stop and have Wi-Fi everywhere. So you go out and convince your neighbors to join too.
We're talking about mesh networking, or we're talking about OLSR networking here, or what kind of technology is the basis of your mesh networking technique?
Well, right now, first of all, let me say, I'm sorry to apologize to the audience here, but I ain't no programmer, okay? And I will tell you what I do, which is I spec things. I basically go to people who know, which I don't, and I ask them, can this be done? So I dream about things, but I don't really do them. Now, what is my dream? My dream is that phone hotspots will detect each other, and they will alert you that there's another Phonero in your neighborhood. I want all this to happen through a website. I really dislike, being not a techie user myself, I really dislike the way the router industry has developed, in which you have to input numerical URLs and connect your router to your laptop in order to program them. And I think that accounts for many of the open Wi-Fi networks we see now. It's just people don't know how to put their username and password, never mind all the other features. So I want Phoneros to appear in maps, to self-detect. And so then I want the routing, from what I understand, the routing to take place in such a way that if you have a nearby Phonero, that the communications with this Phonero go through the Wi-Fi LAN that is established, like a LAN, and not through the internet. I think that's faster, and I think the ISPs would like that because it alleviates traffic from them and people pay anyway.
Okay, before we get more into technical issues, I also like to focus on the second type of Phonero, the bills, which means I can make money off providing that service. What is this about and how does it work?
Well, let's say you have a Wi-Fi connection and you need money, okay? Or you like to make it, or you're a bar owner, or you're a student that doesn't have a lot of money and you just want to... So Phone is free to Phoneros, obviously. If you're a Phonero, it's free. But if you're not a Phonero, if you're an alien, Phone is very affordable. It costs €2 for 24 hours to have access to any hotspot in our network. So... And by the way, we're not charging now, so this is when we start charging. And so €2 for 24 hours, let's say that Phone is either free or affordable. But we will give you €1 for every person who connects with you, and we'll keep €1. So it's we'll promote the network and, you know, promote you in our maps and tell people they should go and connect through you. And we will send you customers.
And the price is a fixed price, or can I determine the price for my hotspot myself?
It's a fixed price. We don't want people to rip people off.
And how does the money travel back to the bills?
Well, we're adopting the system of our investors at Google. You know, Google has a great system with AdSense, you know, where they pay bloggers for the ads or people for their ads. And we're basically... copying this system to pay bills. We're also, by the way, going to allow ads. So people who want to use their sign-up pages in their neighbor to post neighborhood ads can also make money through Google, not through us. But
is there any kind of quality of service I have to provide in order to be a bill?
Well, we're trying to be very inclusive, but of course, if you have dial-up or things like that, you cannot be a Phonero. I recommend that people and people who listen to you, who are, I understand, more techie, really study the DDWRT and OpenWRT firmware that we use, which we call Phone Basic and Phone Advanced, because the features are unbelievable also in terms of quality of service. And what people can do and control is remarkable. I mean, let's say you want to share, but you're concerned that some people are going to suck up all your bandwidth, or your neighbor is a BitTorrent lover or things like that. With phone, you can block you know, that type of traffic, or you can reduce it and only give it a certain amount of bandwidth, or you can protect yourself from abuse. You know, you like to share, but you don't want to be abused, and phone protects you from that.
So the phone software is basically a software for the is a replacement firmware for the routers. As far as I understand, currently there are only Linksys models supported, which are of course the most popular systems because they have been the first one to be equipped with Linux. And so the phone software is based on OpenWRT system. What's your relationship to the OpenWRT project itself and the developers, and is there any kind of funding or support from your side towards that community?
Yes, it's not, just to clarify, it's DDWRT and OpenWRT, both. We have DDWRT and OpenWRT. We think these are two fantastic projects. OpenWRT seems to be a very collaborative project of a lot of people. And DDWRT seems to be almost single-handed by BrainSlayer. And we've been working with BrainSlayer and paying his consulting fees for him to develop a customized version of phone, which is what's now on our website. And I find BrainSlayer an amazing programmer, and I've been with him in Dresden. I was there with him yesterday. And I also took Nicolas Negroponte to see him. And we had a good meeting yesterday in Dresden. And we were there also with Christiane Zusalm. And that's one side of one element of what we have, which is what we call the Phone Advanced. And the Phone Basic is a development of OpenWRT customized for us. We've been actually inviting anybody who listens to this podcast and wants to write to me at martin@phone.com, who's a programmer. And we're very interested in working with them. We've been hiring and, of course, paying programmers to help us. And anybody can use our developments too because they're open source. But I think we've been doing, we've hired 4 programmers in Spain. And we're hiring 5 more in the next 10 days. We have, we love these projects, and we think that they are extremely good projects. We also, by the way, as of yesterday, work on Buffalo routers. So now we work on Buffalo and Linksys. We plan to add many more routers. And we're also talking to a lot of ISPs. Some of them use Comtrend, and we're developing firmware for Comtrend. And we just want to work with, everybody who has Wi-Fi.
On a technical side, so just to describe a bit to the listeners how this works. So whenever I detect a phone network, how do I sign up? What do I have to do?
Well, right now, you use usernames and passwords to sign up, and it's just pretty simple. Now, again, here's an invitation to listeners of this program. It's a different one. Right now, it's pretty boring. You sign up, and it says phone, username, and password. And I hate it like that. I think I would like to invite developers to collaborate with us and to develop their own templates. So, for example, on Ajax or on anything, or on social software, anything they want to use, and we will put them on our website so people can develop their own sign-up screens, you know, and they look to look much better than ours, which is pretty bad, as I was saying. And so now, right now, you put your username and password, but it's boring. Hopefully, with the help of your listeners and some other people in the community, we will have cool-looking sign-up pages that will look much better than now.
Okay, apart from looking cool, what about, well, there are quite a ton of questions regarding authentication, security in general. Your webpage talks about on-demand encryption services. What does that mean?
Well, frankly, I don't recall seeing that on my webpage, but I think I know what it means. Ejovi Nuere, who's our lead phoneer in America, is a very well-known hacker there who also wrote the book Hacker Cracker, and is this very young kid from Brooklyn who got out of a very marginal neighborhood there through hacking, and he's a security expert now. And I think it refers to a product that he's developed that if somebody really wants privacy on their Wi-Fi, they can do some VPN tunneling and encrypted tunneling and get secure Wi-Fi signal. But Ejovi is at ejovi@phone.com, and I think people should just write to him and ask him.
Okay, regarding the phone infrastructure in general, currently you're building up on the existing wireless LAN that's basically privately owned, I would say. Do you see beyond wireless LAN, do you see any other technologies that are going to play a role in the phone system?
Well, the obvious one is WiMAX, right? People are talking a lot about WiMAX. And I think that eventually, if WiMAX really happens, I think that we would be a natural add-on to any WiMAX technology that is deployed, also because at the beginning it will have very spotty coverage. But I'm concerned about WiMAX because I see that the key here is the gadgets, the devices, and I see Wi-Fi, there's an epidemic of Wi-Fi. It's like digital cameras with Wi-Fi now coming up, PDAs with Wi-Fi, Sony PSPs with Wi-Fi, 9 million of those sold, Nintendo DS with Wi-Fi. I'm sure the Apple iPod will soon come with Wi-Fi. And so people invest billions of euros in all these gadgets and throw them away because somebody comes up with WiMAX. So I really think we have Wi-Fi for a while, and we want to stick to Wi-Fi and promote it.
And do you think you can get the direct support of internet service provider? Because most of them are currently putting up their own closed hotspot networks. What's the incentive for an ISP to probably join the phone system so that not only private people are providing that service, but the ISP itself? How's your relationship to ISP in general?
Well, we have signed ISPs, okay? So it's done. We have GlocalNet of Sweden, the second largest ISP in Sweden after Telia. And we're in conversations with around 30 ISPs around the world, all over Europe and America and so on. So what's the incentive? The incentive is to increase their ARPU and decrease their churn, which is what all ISPs want. Higher ARPUs, higher revenues per customer, and lower churn, meaning that people don't leave them. They like to be loved like anyone else. Basically, we tell them that phone increases ARPU and reduces churn. It increases ARPU because when aliens come by, we share money with them, and they never thought they could get more money than maybe 30 euros a month out of each connection. So now we come about and we give them a new revenue source, and they lower their churn because through them, you become a member of a global community of people who share Wi-Fi. You get a lifetime membership the day you do this, and then you want to stick to them. I mean, in theory, of course, you could leave them, go to somebody else to get the same thing, but it just makes them look nicer. And so they do it for fidelity and money.
Any news from Germany? Because this is a very closed market. Is there anything that you could announce or tell us about?
Well, Germany, we have 500 registered phoneros as of today, more or less. I think 490-something I saw this morning. But we only started operating yesterday. We have Christiane Zusam, who's the lead Fonera in Germany, and she comes from the TV world, and very surprising for many people on the internet that we have her, but she's really, a fantastic entrepreneur. And she says it's not her fault that, you know, so many people wanted to play those games on TV that she got going. I think she's a superb leader. We also have been teaming up with the people of Places. We also, interestingly, almost every programmer we hire happens to be German, and I don't really understand why, but the best programmers we found are all German, so we already work with German programmers who have done most of the software we have, and so we're thinking of opening up here in Berlin, because it seems to be the most Fonero city to me, from what I've seen in Germany, without being from here. I went to Munich, it looked kind of too elegant to me. I don't know, Berlin seemed very Fonera. And so we were going to open up an office here, not only to promote Fon, but probably to get a lot of good programmers, because there seems to be an awful lot of programmers around here.
Yeah, well, Linux has always been very strong in Germany. I think Germany also accounts for like 30% Firefox users. 30% of like the users in Germany are using Firefox, just for instance. And Berlin especially has a very strong wireless community, because they're also building mesh networks, because some parts of that city just lack a lot of infrastructure, so wireless was the only way to go. So I'm not really surprised by that, but it's good to hear that you are approaching Berlin in that way. So there have been quite a buzz around the Google and Skype investment in phone recently. You already mentioned that. Can you explain to us what Google and Skype are interested in phone, and what your interest is in this alliance, and what other alliances might be in store?
Well, there's two ways of answering that question. One is to say that Larry, Sergey, Megan, Chris, and all the people at Google love the internet, and they want to see the internet everywhere, and that's why they invested with Fon. And the other way is to be more cynical and to say that they just love to make a lot of money selling ads, and with Fon they can show many more ads because there's Wi-Fi everywhere and they show more ads. And the listeners can believe whatever of the two theories they would like to believe in. I personally think the truth is closer to the fact that these guys love the internet and they love to see it everywhere. And in the process, by the way, they made a lot of money, which is fine. But they really spend their lives on the net. Now, the Skype guys, Janos and Niklas, are on my board and all of Skype. They have another motive, which is they want to see Skype mobile. And to go mobile with Skype, you need phone and you need Wi-Fi networks. And we want to, by the way, roam with every Wi-Fi network, with the free networks of Berlin, with every Wi-Fi network. We want to roam with everybody. We just want to create a global urban Wi-Fi signal. And Skype, you know, they're coming up very soon with the Skype Wi-Fi phones and also Skype on 3G, or there's 3G, there's already 3G Wi-Fi phones. And so I just think that Skype wants to see Skype everywhere.
There was also quite some buzz about some ISPs in the USA that sort of thinking about like charging Google for content delivery, sort of closing down the open networks. I had the impression that the Google Skype investment sort of also tries to make sure that the networks stay alive in that sense.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And frankly, I don't know. What I can tell you, it was not part of our conversations. But I know the whole debate on net neutrality. I am a builder of ISPs. I built three ISPs, and I'm in any case find it horrible that ISPs should try to filter content, and I think that's pretty disgusting. By the way, with Fon you can filter content, but yourself you make the choice. You get your of course with our software you can filter content, but it's your choice, the individual choice of one person, another person. Like if you want to protect your connection from a neighbor that's down BitTorrent all the time, that's another story. But that the whole ISP would do that for everybody at the same time and would say, if you don't pay us Yahoo, you're going to be slower than Google, I find that pretty horrible. And it's true that with phone, they would have a harder time doing this because there's element of intervention at the Wi-Fi level that comes with phone. But having said all this, I didn't have a single conversation with any one of them about net neutrality.
Okay, also in the talks is a couple of projects, especially in the USA, but also in London, that was just like announced a couple of days ago, building up free municipal Wi-Fi networks. There was the idea was brought up in New Orleans first, I guess, in Chicago as well, and now London. Do you see any relationship to what you do? Could phone help cities in order to set this up? And what's your point on politicians trying to prevent this from happening?
Well, just to clarify, politicians want this to happen. It's telecom companies that don't want this to happen. And politicians want this to happen because they're more popular. You know, you gave free Wi-Fi, they vote for you. So,
well, there have been some Republicans in the U.S. who said, "Well, no, it can't be free because like the commercial system has to be supported."
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, not all politicians favor this, but it makes you popular to provide free Wi-Fi. I can see that. But we think that. We welcome any Wi-Fi effort, so that's all great. Now, we think we have a better model for the cities, and we've made a presentation to some cities, and it's going very well, although I cannot say which cities yet. But it's gone super well. And we think we have a better model because we think we have a model that makes for a public-private partnership that doesn't disrupt the telecom world. Because what happens if a city builds a Wi-Fi network for everybody to use, it destroys the telecom operators, basically. And they give for free what the telecom operators charge for. And they leave a lot of people out of their jobs and they stop investment. And you could say, well, it doesn't matter because they invested, they got the Wi-Fi going. But I've been building ISPs for 15 years now and telecom and ISP companies, and I see technology changing all the time. And I can see that building a Wi-Fi, that a city getting into the business of building a Wi-Fi city could be sort of like a Soviet idea where you give good service now, but then the service becomes bad and then everybody wants it for free and everybody stands online and so on. So it's I'm not in favor of that. What FOM proposes to cities is that we donate a lot of routers to these cities and we only to be used in public places like schools, libraries, hospitals, firemen, police, subway, I don't know, anything you can think about. And we proposing, for example, we go to a city, we donate 10,000 routers. And then you get Wi-Fi in all the public places, but only in the public places. And that doesn't interfere with private enterprise because, of course, they should be entitled to put free Wi-Fi in all the public places. But for the public places, we promote the phone model, which is that everybody puts their Wi-Fi routers by their windows. They already pay the ISP so the ISP don't go bankrupt. And everybody gets it for free who's a donor. And those who are not a donor, they get it for €2 a day, which is pretty affordable. So our model is free for those who donate, affordable for those who don't. It doesn't disrupt the telecom players, and it doesn't cost the city any money. So the taxpayer money is spent on hospitals, education, and other things.
Okay, thank you very much for the explanation. If somebody has more questions, where should he go to in order to find this information?
Well, if it's generic questions, of course, they can go to phone.com and they can see our webpage in English and the blogs and of phone and the forum of phone. If they want to know the history of how phone was built, they can go to my blog, martinvarsavsky.net, And because my blog is the blog of an entrepreneur building a company. So anybody who's interested or dreams of building a company one day or likes to know our story can go to my blog. And again, if somebody is a programmer or somebody has a specific question, they can also write to me at martin@fon.com, and I will send these to the programmers of Fon, or if I can answer myself, I'll be happy to answer the question. And we're hiring now both in Germany and in Spain. And, you know, I prefer to deal directly with people who may be interested.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing the information.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Ja, soweit das Interview mit Martin Wasowski. Ein interessantes Projekt, wie ich finde, das man sich mal ein bisschen näher anschauen sollte. Mal gucken, was draus wird. Ich finde das auf jeden Fall sehr vielversprechend. Insbesondere, weil es eine gute Alternative darstellt zu dem aktuellen Hotspot Fuba, den ihr ja selber überall sehen kann. Diese ganzen AOL und Telekom Hotspots, die versuchen sich da gegenseitig bei den Restaurants auszuboten, und am Ende führt es einfach nur dazu, dass in diesen Restaurants und Cafés schlicht und ergreifend kein Internet genutzt wird. Ich denke, die einzigen Orte, wo die Leute wirklich das auch benutzen, ist halt, wo sie wirklich jetzt keine andere Wahl haben. Also in Hotels, im Zimmer, Flughäfen und sowas. Aber das kann ja wohl nicht die Antwort sein. Insofern muss man schauen. Interessant fand ich den Hinweis, dass in anderen Ländern eben ISPs schon auch kooperieren mit Fon. Das könnte wirklich dazu führen, dass sich hier alles ein bisschen öffnet. Aber wollen wir auch nicht zu viel Optimismus verbreiten hier. Vielleicht ist das ja auch alles bekloppt. Ich möchte da auch gerne eure Meinungen zu hören. Und wenn ihr auch technische Fragen habt, dann wie immer nutzt die Feedback-Möglichkeiten von Chaos Radio. Entweder schickt ihr eine E-Mail an chaosradio@ccc.de oder ihr ruft einfach schnell mal an auf unserer tollen Rufnummer unter 01801 9933 22 99 55. Ja, und das war Chaos Radio, die Ausgabe 19. Und ich hoffe, es geht ja auch bald wieder weiter. Die Themen reißen nicht ab. Und wenn ihr auch weiterhin noch Vorschläge habt für Themen, dann bitte auch das im Feedback erwähnen. Ja, ich wünsche euch noch einen schönen Tag und bis bald.